اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سهل علينا أمورنا وافتح علينا أبواب فضلك وكرمك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، dear brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. When I look at your faces, what shall I say? I want to talk about modesty in Islam, al-haya. And you have this. Believe me, when I look at your faces, I feel all of you, they have this haya. So I want to change the topic. I was expecting to talk to old people. I don't know, it's first time for me in this mosque. I don't know this mosque before. It's first time I come here. And believe me, when I entered the mosque, I had different feeling. I don't know why. When I saw you, I had another feeling that all of you are young people, except me and that brother. Anybody else? You are young too. So I felt optimistic. You know, optimistic, right? In Islam we should not despair. When I saw you, I look at your faces, you gave me some energy, believe me. You put in my heart some feeling that Islam is growing and Islam will dominate everything, because Islam is selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for human beings. And you young people, you are practicing Islam, you come to the mosque and you give Islam your time, you sacrifice. Other teens or young people now, they are in where? Maybe behind TV. Maybe they are in bad places, and you are here in the mosque. So believe me, I feel very optimistic. And sometimes, because we're human beings, sometimes we should not despair, but sometimes shaitan is coming and telling you what you are doing. I mean, now the power is not in our hands, and devils are trying to spoil everything on earth. And what you are doing here, you are doing a lot. Because when you go outside, especially those who are growing in this country, when you meet your classmates, when you are in school or university, and you show others Islam, maybe without a single word you utter, they will be affected in a way or another. And when they see your personality, your behavior, your deeds, and what you are thinking about, how you look at all concepts and matters, they will find out, others, I'm talking about others, that you are a different type of people. And you are planting some seeds, even if you did not speak. Because your faces speak. We say in Arabic, even it's in English also, deeds speak louder than speech, right? So I want to come to the mosque, akhi, Tana, every week. You invite me every week? You have a program for every week? What's your program here? Before I talk about modesty in Islam, what programs you have in this mosque? Because I have never met young people before like you. I mean, is it occasionally or you program for that? Pardon?
So far monthly.
You have monthly program for youth. Okay, I have my group. I teach some young like you in Arabic. But in English, it's first time. So it means, alhamdulillah, our ummah is bi khayr. And you spend your time here. You come here and you want to listen about Islam. You want to learn something. Okay. Thank you. Islam, we cannot say, we cannot define al-haya as we say modesty or humility. There is no synonym for this word in English. There is no synonym. Pen, you can find a synonym. Chair, all these things you can find. But there are some words in Islam. You will never find exact words, a synonym for it in English or in any other languages. Al-haya is one of these words. So if we say modesty, modesty does not mean al-haya. It's just a similar word that explains to you, you should be modest guy, and you should be humble. Humility is the same. But does not, that does not mean, if you are modest, if you are humble, it means you have haya. It doesn't mean that. There are a lot of people, non-Muslims, they are modest people. And they are humble people. But they don't have al-haya. Because al-haya in Islam means something else. I want to clarify this point because it's very important to know that al-haya is coming from your iman. If you have strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have al-haya. If a person, he or she, does not have the right belief, they will never have al-haya, although they are modest. So, like al-barakah, for example, there are special words that you do not have synonym in English. Al-barakah, you know al-barakah, right? So, there is no similar word in English. The same is al-haya. Al-haya in Islam is one important element in your belief. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba." More than 70 parts, more than 70 elements. Al-Iman, more than 70. Bid'un wa sab'un, 77, 75, 73, between 70 and 80. And he says, al-haya shu'batun min shu'ab al-iman. It's a part from these 70 shu'ba. It's an essential part. If a person does not have al-haya, it means that his iman is not complete. And if a person does not have al-haya, he or she, they may behave in a way that Allah will never bless him. So al-haya is very important in our life. As we Muslims, we believe that Islam is for your way of life. It's not to come to the mosque and pray. We should understand Islam as a complete unit, and we have to apply Islam in our daily life, in all aspects of our daily life. It's not only prayer. So if al-haya is missed, the person might do something that Allah hates, and Allah does not bless you if you do it. So the Prophet ﷺ emphasized on this point that you should have al-haya. If you don't have it, you will miss a lot of things. In other hadith he says, إذا لم تستحي فاصنع ما شئت. If you don't have al-haya, do whatever you want. And you may do anything to the extent that people now, they may walk naked in the streets. Why? Because they don't have al-haya. They don't feel that this is something they should have. So those people who are naked, if they have al-haya, they will not do it. So they don't have anything. If you miss al-haya, you will miss gradually your dignity. And at the end, you will be like those people who are naked in the street. But it will not happen once. It's gradual, step by step. So we have to emphasize on minor things in al-haya in order not to reach to the disaster. Because if you reach to the disaster, then you can't prevent anything. It's not. It's happened, that's it. So This is why the Prophet ﷺ, if you go back to the history, to Siyam, you will see that he told the companions, his companions, some for you now, if I say that, you say, they were like this? Yes. Brothers, now we Muslims all over the world, we are far away from our Sahaba, from the Prophets, from that era of time. The Prophet says, أَفْضَلُ الْقُرُونَ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best time was the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The best generation is As-Sahaba. The best over, I mean, since Adam ﷺ to the end. That's the best era. The Prophet says, then, the second generation, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, means التابعين, those who followed الصحابة, who met الصحابة, they are number two. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then the third generation. And now how far we are from them? Thousands of years ago, right? So how we consider ourselves now? Are we good people? Are we applying Islam in our daily life and we feel like they fell? Do we have the same haya they have there? They have it? Unfortunately not. Why? There are many reasons that they put you in a way you never even thought of applying all this information we know about Islam in our daily life. And even we do not try to transfer and deliver these meanings to our children or to our neighbors or to our friends. If you speak about it, they will not hear. And people, they will say, what are you talking about? If I say, don't eat in the street, because that's against al-haya, who will do it? You see, these are minor things. I mean, if you eat while you are walking in the street, it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't mean that you are not anymore Muslim, but you are doing something that's against al-haya. Even our dress, when we buy our clothes, do we sometimes note that certain colors even men should not buy? It's makruh, we call it in Islam. All of these things are in the Islamic books and fiqh and sharia. I'm not bringing you something from my own knowledge. I mean, it's in Islam. You know, okay, how many sources we have in our religion? If somebody asks you in the university or in the school, from where you get your law, your sharia, who can tell me? What are the sources of our sharia? Yeah, I wanna see, that's my son, I teach him always. Day and night, I'm teaching them. Yes, brother? Al-Quran. The first source is Al-Quran. Second? Al-Sunnah. Al-Hadith. Al-Sunnah. Al-Sunnah means what the Prophet said? Saying? Behaving? Or some Sahaba did something and the Prophet said, okay. So that is Sunnah. It's all. Then we have Al-Ijtihad. Okay? Then we have Al-Qiyas. Okay, these four sources we have in Islamic Sharia. Al-Sunnah, okay, Al-Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved Al-Quran. So nobody will be able to change a single word in Al-Quran, right? Because this is preserved from Allah. People tried several centuries ago to try to change some words in the Quran, they were failed. Because this is something Allah guaranteed that nobody will be able to do it. Then we come to Al-Sunnah, Al-Hadith. Okay. Now if you read Al-Hadith, Sahih al-Bukhari for example, we have six books in Al-Hadith that scholars of Islam consider that these six books are the most correct and vivid books in Islam. Al-Bukhari, Muslim, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i, Sunan Abi Dawud, Ibn Majah. If you say Al-Hadith, if you say this is the Prophet says, who said that? A Prophet. Who narrated this Hadith? You say Al-Bukhari or Muslim. Okay. Those people, you see, I want to reach you a point which we get benefits from that in Al-Hayah. When Al-Bukhari put these hadiths in his book, and because it's class number one, Al-Bukhari. How? have to meet people who met a Sahaba, or even a Tabi'een, the people after a Sahaba. And then a Sahaba has to say something that they heard from the prophets. Prophet say something, a Sahaba, in one of the companions, he was sitting and he heard the prophet, he said this hadith to the people. Those people, they memorized the hadith and they narrated to the second generation. So it's a chain, it's like a chain, prophet, Sahaba, Tabi'in. Okay, between Al-Bukhari and the prophet, maybe there are five, six people. Because Al-Bukhari was not at the time of the prophet, 200 years later. So, in order to take that hadith and consider the hadith is correct, because he's going to put it in his book, if somebody in this chain, five, six people, one of them, I mean, there are some criteria to rely on to take al-hadith. And these criteria, if someone of these people was just eating in the street, he will forget the hadith completely. Why? Because if you are on high rank, high standard of iman, you will never eat in the street. You will never urinate in the street. You see? This is the criteria. It's very high standard. So although all of these people are honest, okay, this person, Al-Bukhari, is taking al-hadith from, he is honest, nothing to say about his religion, his iman, his deep love to Islam, and maybe he is right, what he is saying is right. He's not just saying something that the Prophet didn't say. He's saying the right hadith. But just when he heard that he was doing that, he says he will never take it. So all the hadith you read in Al-Bukhari has been taken from people who have al-haya. And not only normal haya, high standard of al-haya. Now we are talking about high standard, okay? So if we want to talk about, now what we have? Do we have high standard of al-haya? We don't. We don't, all of us, including myself. We don't have the high standard of al-haya. Let's go to the lower standard, at least. If you cannot reach the high standard, try at least to pick up something. Al-haya, that's very large topic. But Taha says I have 30 or 40 minutes. It will take, if I want to talk in detail, because that's a large topic in Islam. It's a large topic. Do you have patience? Okay, how I have another 20, 30 minutes? 20 minutes, okay. So, 20 is okay with you? Okay, 20 minutes, inshallah. I will stop at 6 o'clock, okay? They are hungry?
I don't know. They're not hungry, so.
Did you prepare something for them to eat?
Yes.
Okay, there are some refreshments? Okay, inshallah. So, we don't have the high standard of al-hayy. We have to admit that. Especially we are living in the West. Those who are living here and growing up in the West, they will miss a lot of al-haya gradually. You will miss. So how you can maintain, I mean, try to at least pick up something. You have to come to the mosque. You have to sit and try. Where is a jalsa? Try to go and be there. Why? Because this will increase your iman. And when you hear about it, you will think about it. If you don't hear about it, who cares? I mean, you will have your own way of life and you are affected by TV, by teachers, you are affected by the society. I mean, we are affected in a way or another, I mean, in direct or indirect way. So, gradually we will miss our haya. In order not to miss it, because if you miss al-haya, it's very dangerous, believe me. If we miss al-haya, as I said at the beginning, then you might do something that Allah hates. If you have al-haya, you will watch your deeds and try to be a good guy, try to be a good Muslim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. So al-haya is one part of our iman. It's very essential. It's very, I mean, an essential part. We should keep it. Al-Islam emphasized on this point because, as I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, created everything. And Allah knows, because He created us, what's good for us, what's bad for us. Allah knows that. So al-haya is from Allah. Allah said, you must have al-haya. It's in Muslims' personalities. This is something natural. So if you miss it, you'll miss a lot of things. And he moved to another country, Palestine, and he met there the daughters, two daughters of Sayyidina Shu'aib. And Mufassirun, those who explain Al-Quran, we call At-Tafsir, they say this is Shu'aib, the Prophet Shu'aib, or just a pious person Shu'aib. It's not our topic anyhow. So he met these two daughters. And a lot of people, they were taking water from the well. And it's too crowded on the well. So these two daughters, they were standing just aside, waiting for those people to take their water, and the well will be free so that they can come and take the water and go back home. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he saw these two daughters, two women, are standing aside. They are not with the crowd. And he asked them, what are you doing here? Why don't you come and take the water? They say, لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يَسْقِي رَضِعَاءَ And وَأَهُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ Our father is an old man. And we have to know, we come here to take water, and we have to wait. So Sayyidina Musa volunteered, and he took the water for them, and gave it to them, and they went. They talked to their father, what happened. So, the father told her, go and ask Musa to come here. Here's the sample, the example. وَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمْ عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءِ When she came and asked him to come, that her father is calling him, she was so shy. And she had al-haya. And by the way, al-haya in girls should be more than in boys. In female, more than male. This is natural. This is because something natural from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have al-haya too. But in women should be more. Because women, they are created in a different way. That Allah subhanahu... Women are different from men. I mean, physical. They are not like men. But they are equal in Islam. Okay? There's no difference between men and women. But physically, they are different. So they should have al-haya more. Are there any sisters listening? No. You tell her, okay? If you have any sister, tell her you should have haya more than I do. But I should have a haya too, huh? So she came, جاءت وحدهما تمشي على استحياء. قالت إن أبي يدعوك. Why? Because my father wants to give you what? Because he helped them. He served them. He took the water from the well and إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا. He want to give you the wage. I mean, you work for us and he want to pay something for you. And she came with al-haya. Sayyidina Musa, now we should have al-haya like Musa alayhi salam. He has to follow her. He doesn't know the way. And he's a stranger in the city. She said, I will tell you the way. But he said, okay, I will walk in front of you and you walk just on the back. Because we men, we should not look at women. You can talk to the woman when you need that, let's say. There are some circumstances Islam allows you to talk to the woman. But nowadays, we talk to women in the same way we talk to men. There's no difference, right? No, I mean, when you talk to women, do you have the feeling that you should not look at the woman? You should not look at her face when you talk to her. You should have al-haya. Do we have this feeling? We don't. Because you are in the street, you are in the mall, you are in the university, you have girls and boys all are mixed together, then you don't have this feeling anymore. Except few of us. We have the feeling that when you talk to female, you should have al-haya. Sayyidina Musa said, I will walk just in front, and you walk behind. And when I have to turn left or right, just throw me a stone. Okay, this stone means turn right. She doesn't speak. This stone turns left. Like this. Giving a signal how to walk. Now if you say this, I mean if I'm telling you that, I mean I feel that, what are you talking about, brother? I mean, we are far away from this. Right, we are far away from this. Now we talk to women and to girls like we talk to our brothers. The same way even we play with them. So we don't have al-haya anymore. We should have al-haya, because when you miss it, when you miss al-haya, as I say, it will lead at the end that you may commit a zina. It might lead to a zina. This is why in Islam, al-ikhtilat, you know al-ikhtilat in Arabic? Who speaks Arabic? One, two, okay, three. You speak Arabic, brother? The end. To a zina, it's haram. Zina, lead to a zina, it's haram, because it will lead you to a zina. So this is why when we deal with female, we have to watch everything. We have to watch our speech. We have to watch our behavior and everything. So Sayyidina Musa was like, if we miss al-haya, that's a disaster. If we miss al-haya, the Prophet says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَصْمَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. You can do anything because you do not have al-haya anymore. Al-haya can be described in your behavior, in your speech, in your dress, in everything. It's involved in every aspect of your life. The way you speak, it shows that you have al-haya or not. We should not raise our voices upon our parents. If you are talking to your mother or to your father, you should not raise your voice. That's against al-haya. If you have al-haya, you speak in a different way when you speak to old people. If you speak to your brother, you are the same age, you may use some words that you are not allowed to use it when you speak to an adult, to an old man, to your father, to your mother. I mean, in Western civilization and culture, they don't have these meanings at all. So they might speak in the they speak in the same way when they speak to their parents as if they speak to their friends. In Islam, it's different. And when you deal with people who are older than you, who are more educated than you, you should show al-haya to them. That's very important. So al-haya is in the way of your speech. It's in the way how you sit. You know that? How you sit. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was living with his companions for 23 years. He became Prophet at the age of 40 and he passed away at the age of 63. 23 years he was with his companions, day and night. No one of his companions saw the Prophet sitting in this way. No one. ما رؤيا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما رؤيا مادا رجليه قط. When he was sitting with them, always sitting in الحياء way. What's the الحياء way? You have الحياء way in the sitting also? Yes, we have. In Islam, you should not lay down your legs in this way, because that's a kind of insulting for people who are sitting in front of you. Do we watch our sitting? Even if you are sitting at home, watching TV, doing something, your parents are in the room, do you watch your way of sitting? We should, because that's also al-haya is involved. Al-haya is involved in the way you eat. The way you eat, how you eat. You can show al-haya in your way, and you can eat in a way that there is no haya at all. The Prophet ﷺ, when he is on the dinner or on the table, and there are a lot of different, like a large dish containing different things from the large plate, he never ever put his hand, okay, this is my border, okay, here for example there's rice, maybe there's something else there, okay. Prophet ﷺ, he used to eat just what's in front of him directly. Never put his hands on that thing and take that. Never, ever. That's high standard of al-haya. Now, we have different dishes. Maybe this is tomato, potato, rice, meat, these things. Okay. You can take. Or he says, you can select when there are fruits. Because you may like this kind of fruit, you may not like the other kind. So you could be a mimic. He's teaching one of his companions. Kul biyaminik. Use your hand, right hand, when you want to eat. Never ever use your left. Other companion says, I can't, my prophet. I can't use my right. He says, okay, you will never be able to. And he can. Just he is proud, the other one. He's feeling proud that he wants to eat with the left hand. And the prophet says, Kul biyaminik. Use your right hand when you want to eat. Wakul mimma yaleek. What's next to you, just take it. Don't make like this. I want to take this. Now if we have, I mean, sometimes you are in a party, you can notice that. If you are in a party, 50 people are invited for dinner, and the host say, okay, please come on, my guest. They rush in a way as if they were starving. Right? As if people did not see food for a long time. You should not do that way. That's not al-haya. Wait. Let them eat. You'll not feel starving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. And take something that's just next to you. That's the way how to show al-haya. In your eating, in your speech, in your sitting, when you talk to others, I say, is this very important? You have to show al-haya. Al-haya will prevent you to do bad things. The best haya a Muslim can have is that he has al-haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may feel shy if I enter your bedroom and you are surfing the net, good, bad things, whatever. Suddenly your father enters, and you are watching something Allah hates. Okay, that's mine. Okay, I'll close it. I don't want to disturb. Okay. So, how will be your reaction? If somebody just suddenly enter your bedroom, you are alone, nobody is watching you, and you are alone, you are doing a lot of things, whether good or bad, and your dad is there, or your friend is there, how will be your reaction? Definitely, you'll be ashamed. Because at that time, you have another personality. Now your personality here in the mosque is different from that when you are alone. Do we Muslims have two or dual personalities or one? We should have one. Even whether you are alone or billions of people are surrounding you or you are alone, you are one. You are the same. So, when you have al-haya, this will create in your iman that you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that when you are alone, you're trying to be better than when you are with people. But it's the opposite now. It's vice versa, unfortunately. Many people, when they are alone, they may commit sins because they are alone. At that time, they don't have al-Iman anymore. Allah will take al-Iman from their hearts when they commit sins. Because لا يزني الزاني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. Allah, the Prophet says, ولا يشرب الخمر حين يشربها وهو مؤمن. If you have the strong Iman, you will never commit a sin. And you will feel that Allah is watching you. When you are alone in your bedroom, when you are alone behind your keyboard and surfing the internet, Allah is watching you. You feel shy from your parents or from your friends, but people, whatever they will do, I mean, these people, they will, okay, your friends, maybe they will change their mind that they are not the right person they have to work with, okay, but at the end, they will not do anything for you. Right? Even your parents, what will they do? Okay, they will say, okay, I will not talk to you anymore. He will feel angry and maybe he will not give you money or something, but at the end, you are not hurting. You can be independent. But what will you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I found out in this country, believe me, when I deal with young people, they have dual personalities. Why? I don't know. What's the reason? That when they are with you in the mosque, they are like angels. The spiritual things they have, when they are alone, it's a big problem. How can we strengthen? Yes, brother, tell me. There's nothing, okay? So, maybe some people, they come to the mosque because their parents, they want them to come. But you accept, inshallah. I mean, I know that when you come here, it's your decision. Whereas your parents, I don't know. It's your decision. But some people, they come to the mosque with their parents because their parents, they want them to grow up in Islam. When they go out, when they are alone, they are different people. That's a very big problem. So al-haya, if you have al-haya, first thing you should have al-haya, min Allah. That you are ashamed, you have modesty, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be like this, and you dare not to commit a sin because He's watching you. And not alone. Every single moment in your life, Allah is watching you. And Allah is observing your deeds. So you cannot hide. You can't say that Allah is not watching you. So if you have al-haya from Allah, you'll never do bad things. Never ever. But when we do it, it means that our haya is very weak. If you have al-haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will treat you in a different way. That's the result. It's a guarantee from Allah for those who have al-haya from Him that Allah will assist you in a way that He does not assist other people. Allah will give you something that He will never give it to other people, because you are a person, a different type of people. You have this haya from Him, so Allah will never leave you for yourself. You are looking for bad future or good future? Good future. Everyone is looking for a good future. He or she wants to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever. Just, we are looking for a good future. If you want a good future, have this haya from Allah. And Allah then will put you on a special list. Your name will be listed on those people who have al-haya from Him. And He will treat you in a way, believe me, that you will never ever believe that you are mistaken or misguided. Believe me. Allah will give you whatever you want. What you are looking for, Allah will give you. Because you are a different type of people. You have al-haya. Al-haya in your heart which prevents you doing bad things. So al-haya, the best, if you have it from Allah, then That's number one. You don't care about people. Then you are living with people. As I said, you should have al-haya when you treat others, in your speech, in your way of talking, the way of sitting, the way of dealing with others, in every aspect. In society, you are living with people. If you are a very strong person, very smart, if you achieve a lot of good things, and you feel sometimes, oh, I'm very proud, I did it myself, I'm so smart guy, I did it. Once you say, I did it, you will become like Shaitan. Because Shaitan, the first thing he said, Ana, I, khayrun minhu. He saying that I'm better than Adam. Why are you asking me to make sujood to Adam? I'm better than him. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. He said that I'm better than him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result that Shaitan was out from the paradise. And if you say I did this, I'm a smart guy, I achieved this and that, that's not the way of our showing. We do not show off. We do not show off in Islam. If you did something, keep it secret. Show humility, that you are a humble person, that if you did it, Allah make you do it. Allah gave you tawfiq. You know tawfiq? Is there any synonym in English for tawfiq? No. Successful?
Ability?
It's not tawfiq. Ability is not tawfiq. If you are able to do something because you have this ability and you do it, don't say that I do it because I have this ability. Say because Allah gave me tawfiq. And it's only mentioned once in the Quran. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So Allah gave you the power, the ability to do it in a very correct way. Don't say I. Sayyidina Sulaiman, the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, he dominated the whole globe. The whole. Allah gave him everything. The wind, just he will, if he wants to move from one place to another, just he will go by wind. Huh? The wind will take him. So he was given the whole globe, Sayyidina Sulaiman. And you know that what happened. He wants the queen in Yemen to be brought, the throne and everything. And in a second, her throne was just opposite to him. And the distance is thousands of miles. In a second, Allah gave him this miracles. It's a miracle. Allah gave his prophet some miracles. So when Sayyidina Sulaiman saw all of these things, I mean, he was dominating the whole globe. He says, هذا من فضل ربي. It's not me. It's not because I'm superstar. It's not because that I have this ability. It's because Allah gave me. هذا من فضل ربي. This is what Allah gave me. Why? ليبلوني أشكر أم أكفر. It's a test from Allah that do I believe and have strong belief in Him and I thank Him, or just I deny. It's a test. So brothers, if Allah gave you some abilities, we have different abilities, right? I may be strong in this field, you are strong in that field. So we have different abilities with Him. If you are strong in any field, don't show off and say, this is from Allah to test me. Do I make thank for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do I thank Him? Do I show that I am a humble person and a person that I need Allah's help? We should always show Allah that we need His help. We need His assistance because we are so weak. What ability you have, any ability you have, you should feel that you are so weak. And we do so weak. I mean, a mosquito might kill us, right? So we are so weak people. We are so weak. So everything is from Allah, is ni'mah. Use it in that way, and don't show off, and don't say, your brother, okay, I'm so strong and so that, because that Allah hates. Okay, I think time is up. Just let me mention one point that's very important. I have written here. You should have al-haya in all parts of your body. Okay? In all parts, not only when you speak. Even with your hands, you should have al-haya. It means you do not do something in your hands that Allah hates. So al-haya in every part of your body. Your eyes, do not watch something Allah hates. Your ears, do not hear something Allah hates. All parts of your body you should have al-haya. When your body has al-haya, it means it will reflect on your heart. then your heart will have al-haya. The first is your body. Every part of your body, let them have al-haya. That will reflect on your heart. And when your heart has al-haya, you will have happiness. You will be the most happy person on the globe. If you have al-haya in your body, in your heart, you will be the most happy person, believe me. And you will feel that you are dominating the globe. People have millions, you have more than billions. You have al-haya in your heart, in your parts of your body. And that's something uncountable. You can't value that. It's beyond our imagination. If you have it, it means you are controlling the whole globe. This is the Muslim's feeling. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم.